special music tonight. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to be here on this Wednesday evening. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Mark in chapter 6. Mark in chapter 6, on Wednesday nights, we've been studying the life of John the Baptist. The life of John the Baptist. And there's so much in the Bible concerning the life of John the Baptist that God has recorded for us. And if it's here in the Bible, then it's God's Word. And it's what God's recorded for us to learn from. And so there's no doubt there's so much here that God would have us to learn from the life of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He ushered in the New Testament church age that we are still living in today. And this New Testament church age will go all the way through to the rapture and then God calls the church out. But it was established, it started actually with John the Baptist coming to present the Lord Jesus Christ, the forerunner. Now, John was a key figure in the New Testament, no doubt about it. As we study the scriptures, a key and being able to be the forerunner, which was prophesied in the Old Testament, that he would come before Jesus and he would point the way and prepare the way for the Lord to come. But being used by God that way, you would think that when his life was over on this earth, that possibly he would be taken up in a whirlwind, somewhat like Elijah. Elijah, when God was finished with him, he passed on the mantle. And before he passed on the mantle, he left this world in a whirlwind. I mean, what an honor. Enoch, what an honor. He just wasn't. And he just automatically in the presence of God. And all of that. So you think John the Baptist, maybe that's how God would choose to let him exit this New Testament church age. Wasn't the way it was. God chose to use John being martyred, having his head cut off. And my goodness, why? Well, we've been studying much of the reason why here lately. And what God was able to get and the messages and the biblical truths that God's able to teach us through how he allowed John to end his life on this planet Earth. John was put in prison. Now, why was he put in prison? Well, he was put in prison for preaching against adultery, a divorce, and ungodly marriages. Amen. Throughout this entire church age, I think that men of God ought to stand and preach against adultery and fornication and divorce and ungodly marriages. Amen. God has a plan, and the world needs to know what God's plan has always been and always will be. I think in this New Testament church age, the first one that came and gave his life for this, amen, was just an example of what all God called men of God might have to end up doing right before the rapture or during, you know, who knows? Who knows? But I believe that God would have us, God's people, to stand for what God wants us to stand for, and that is the Word of God. What's right? Fornication is never right, never has been. Man was not created for fornication. His body was never created for fornication. And yet we live in a world that, I mean, they don't think anything about it. And it's on television. Every time you turn the television on, it's what attracts viewers. I mean, all the different things, the world that we're living in, it's just true. But John, that was one of the things. He was preaching against adultery or fornication, divorce. Divorce today is just nothing to it. You know, there's no reason. If you don't like the person, just divorce them. Better yet, let's just not get married. Let's just live together. And on and on and on. And that's the society. I mean, in a Christian-based nation, that's what's going on here. And then when we do look at marriage, then they want to redefine marriage today. And what a day and age we live in. And yet the Bible tells us that this day was coming. It shouldn't come upon us as being something strange. It's something that God said would happen in the latter days. But John put in prison for preaching against adultery, divorce, and ungodly marriages. Herodias rejected John's message. And the story that we find here at the end of the life of John has to do with Herodias, and we'll be looking at that tonight. But she rejected John's message. When a person rejects God's message, or they reject light, the Word of God is the light of the world, Jesus was the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. And He was the light of the world. The church, Christians, are to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth today. So it's the Word of God. It's the will of God. When a person rejects God's light, they open themselves up to even greater darkness. They're in darkness, but when they reject the light, they open themselves up to even greater darkness. And that's where we're at tonight. In Mark chapter 6, verse 17, this is the story of John's beheading. Now, we've already taught on why John was put in prison. We've taught on a lot of different things. Herodias rejects John's message. And so we're going to continue with this tonight. We're going to get back. We're going to read it. But we'll actually be looking at verse 21 to verse 28, which is Herodias' evil plan to have John killed. Herod wouldn't let her do it right then and there, but she starts planning on it. And we're going to study that tonight. So go ahead and stand with me tonight. That was just an introduction. Amen. Hopefully bring you up to par where we're at on Wednesday nights. It's been a great study. I trust you've enjoyed it. I know I've enjoyed preparing to preach and teach it. I've learned much myself. And first time I've went through and actually taught on the life of John the Baptist. I've taught through the books of all the Gospels, but we're studying the life series and studying on the life, and you break things down a little bit more when you're looking at the life and what God has given to us about that. And so there's been it's been a blessing to me to prepare to preach and teach on the life of John the Baptist. But Mark chapter 6 and verse 17, let's begin there. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, for her sake, his brother Philip's wife. He has relations with her. He divorces his wife. She divorces Philip, his brother, and they get married. For he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, this is John, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. What you're doing is not right. Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him because of what he preached. He was just the messenger. He's just preaching God's word. But she had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. The only reason she did not order the soldiers to kill John right then and there is because Herod says, no, 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 we can't kill him right now. It would cause too much of a scene. So Herod would have been the only one that could have stopped her, and he would have stopped her. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly during the time that he was in jail, prison. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel. And the damsel gave it to her mother. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we want to thank you for this another opportunity for us to assemble ourselves together. Thank you for your presence in this place. And I pray tonight, God, that as we study your word and present what you would have us to present from this passage of Scripture, that you would use it to speak to each and every one of us that are here. Use it to help us to learn some of these practical truths and applications for our own lives. Pray that you'd speak to each one as we have need to be spoken to. Empower the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So when Herodias rejected John's message, verse 19, therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. She would have killed him, but she could not. When a person rejects God's light, she had the opportunity to receive the preaching of the Word of God. She didn't want anybody telling her what she was doing was wrong, and that divorcing her husband to marry her brother, his brother, to live in this kind of sin and to do the things that they had done. She didn't want to hear that. And so instead of letting the conviction speak to her and her responding to God as God would want us to respond to, can't go back and change anything, but you need to respond to God as God wants you to respond and have a sorrow for what you've done, have a repentant attitude, have a desire that, Lord, I never want to do that again. Not only confessing, saying I'm guilty of this, but forsaking that sin, saying I never want to do that again. God, help me from this point forward to do right. That's basically how she should have responded to the gospel. We spoke on that when we studied that verse. But she did not. She rejected that. And when a person rejects the light, they open themselves up to even greater darkness. Herod would not allow Herodias to kill John. Herod keeps John in prison for over 1 year. Kept him in verse 20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy. Knowing this, and observed him, and when he had heard him, he did many things. I mean, he would hear him often. When he's in prison there, he would go down and commune with him, and John would be witnessing to him, and he would even try some of those things and see how it would affect his life. That's what the Bible's saying about that. But he did this for over a full year. Kept putting off making a right decision. Kept putting off making a right decision. We're going to say next week more on Herod should have made the right decision. He knew that John was right. He knew he should not be in prison. But he kept putting off setting him free. Kept putting it off until he wouldn't be able to set him free. Boy, what a lesson there. Keep putting off doing what God tells you to do. Satan's going to get a victory in your life. Amen. We're not preaching that tonight, though. Move on. Okay. Come back next Wednesday night. We'll be hitting more on that. Okay. But Herodias, she has an evil plan. From the moment she rejected the light and she had a problem with John, she said, "You will die. And I might not be able to do it now, but there will come a day and I will have my way and I will see you dead." That's in her heart and that's in her mind. That's Herodias. So for over a year, she plotted and planned to kill John. She was consumed with it because she turned away from light and Satan filled her heart with darkness. Verse 21, the Bible says, "And when a convenient day was come." Now, a convenient day for who? It's getting ready to tell you about how Herodias works a plan to kill John, to have him beheaded. And so the convenient day, if you will, is a convenient day for Herodias' plan. She had been working for over a year, planning and plotting, trying to figure out how she could force her husband's hand instead of going down and letting John influence him. Instead of going down and listening to John and then trying to apply some of those biblical principles to his life, how can I force his hand to have John beheaded? This is what's going on. That's what the Bible tells us. This is a convenient day. She'd been planning and now the day's here. And everything, her plan is coming together. Verse 22. The Bible says, "And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod." Now, verse 22, it would have been common for there to be immoral, immodest, suggestive dancers at such of a worldly occasion such as this. In this day and age, a very heathen day and age, and he's throwing this big party. It's only the men there. And so he is doing all this and they're drinking and they're carrying on. They're going to have entertainment. They're going to have dancers come in. And they were going to have this kind of immoral, immodest, and suggestive type of dancers come in. That was not that uncommon. That would not have been that uncommon. But what was not common was for a member of the royal family to place herself in such a position. This was Herodias' daughter, which made her a member of the royal family. To present herself as a harlot, to present herself as entertainment for the men, that was something that would be hired out. They would hire harlots to come in. They would hire this kind of activity. But what was uncommon was this would have been Herod's stepdaughter. It would have been actually his niece. Because it was Philip, his brothers, who used to be Herodias' husband, it was their daughter. Herodias would have been the one preparing this activity for her husband and all the other men that would come and be entertained. Instead of hiring a harlot to come in to be able to present this to him, her plan was coming together. She had to make sure that the one that would go in would know how to get Herod, how to please him and get him to tell her, "I'll give you whatever you want." For over a year, she had been preparing her daughter to go in as one of these dancers and to be able to go in by herself and attract these men to herself and especially please Herod so that she could ask him for the head of John the Baptist. Now listen, this is what's going on. It's all right here. This understanding, putting it in today, our own thoughts so that we see what kind of evil's going on here. Dates and faces might change. The sins of man does not change. Satan is as evil today as he ever has been. And his plan hasn't changed. To devour. Is that roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour? Devour individuals. Devour families. So Herodias knew that the alcohol and then the surprise of Herodias' own daughter would catch Herod off guard. He's not thinking about John the Baptist. He's not thinking about what John had been talking to him about as far as you need to get your heart right with God. You need to confess your sin. You need to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Herod, you know I'm telling you the truth. And Herod would go down and listen to John. John was a preacher of the gospel. He would tell John, he would say, you know I'm right. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have had divorced your wife. You should not have had Herodias divorce her husband, your own brother. You shouldn't have done your brother that wrong, that way. You know I'm right. And Herod would have understood that. He kept going back, the Bible says, and listening to him. But at this particular point, he was drinking, he was carousing, and he was not thinking spiritually. He wasn't thinking about John the Baptist. He was thinking about himself and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And the Bible says that she pleased Herod. At Matthew chapter 14, we find this, another account of this. It gives us a little bit more insight into what had taken place. So this is Matthew's account of what took place. In chapter 14, we're just going to look down to verse 6. And in Matthew chapter 14, verse 6, it says, "But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before him and pleased Herod." Pleased Herod. She danced before him. She made a point to attract his attention and to please him with her dancing, to get him caught off guard, to get him thinking in his own mind and lusting and all the different things that would go to take place with this. And alcohol and this kind of activity go hand in hand. So, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. She had it worked out. She knew exactly what she was going to be doing, and she knew exactly what she would say to him and how he would respond. And she being before instructed of her mother. She's not there really on her own. She's there because her mother prepared her for this. For over a year, her mother had been preparing her to do this. Over a year, her mind was so polluted with darkness and her desire consumed with killing John, she used her own daughter. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger." Yeah, no doubt about it. Herodias prepared her own daughter and used her to accomplish her evil plan to kill John. Now go back over the book of Mark in chapter 6, the very last verse that we read, verse 28. It happens. She forces Herod's hand. Now, he should never put himself in that position. We'll be studying that a little bit more next week on this. But this is Herodias using her own daughter. He forces Herod's hand and brought his head in a charger. Now, this is kind of a gross picture, but the Bible gives it to us because it's a gross situation. His head in a charger on a plate, if you will. On a plate, serving it. And gave it to the damsel. And the damsel gave it to her mother. What a gift. What a way to prepare your daughter. And what a gift for her daughter to give back to her. They both rejoice over having a bloody head on a plate in front of them. That's gross. That's morbid. But more than all that, it's darkness. It's evil. It's darkness. And they're rejoicing over what they've accomplished. When light is rejected, there will be even greater darkness. Now that's the story. That is a very ugly, evil picture that God gives us about this event in Scriptures. He does it so that we can make application. And the application needs to be made. Can I tell you that darkness will influence thoughts? The more you're around it, the more it's going to influence what's going on inside of your head. And you'll have some of the darkest thoughts, some of the most evil desires. Something that comes from that old sin nature that is what is related to Satan himself. That he will work through the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It started back in Genesis. Go back there with me, if you will. It gives us a little bit more insight in Genesis. In chapter 4, I wanted you to see this first of all. After the sin, after the fall of Adam, and then, of course, after Cain slew his brother Abel, and now Cain is judged by God and didn't take his life but put him out into the world, then we find that there was another son of Adam and Eve called Seth. In Genesis, in chapter 4 and verse 26, verse 25, let me read that to you as well, because the Bible says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." So another seed that would bring forth truth of God. And the Bible says, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So we find here that there was in the beginning here, after Cain and Abel, Cain was turned out into darkness, and Seth now has the light of God. And the Bible says that Seth was the very beginning of men being able to call upon God. And then it goes down and gives you the genealogy of Seth and all the looked at, then Enoch and Methuselah and then Lamech, and then it came down to Noah. Noah came from the spiritual line of Seth. Well, now go down to chapter 6 and verse 5. The Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The most evil time in human history, up till now. The darkest time in human history on this earth. Man had a choice. The Bible goes on to say how that the sons of God met with the daughters of men, and many believe, and I believe this is true, this was the offspring of Cain and the offspring of Seth, and they come together. No doubt they would have been instructed not to do that, but they came together, and then what they produced was a people of darkness. A people that, because it wasn't God's will and we did it anyway, we're just going to turn away from God and we'll live the way we want to live. And after who knows how many generations, we find that in the end, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, because of the darkness that they had given themselves to, it affected their thinking. And as their thinking was affected, they turned away from the light, they turned away from God, and they turned to darkness. And when they turned to darkness, it just continued to get darker and darker. And they started living in ways that would repulse any godly-minded individual, for sure. And such in our society today that some of the different relationships ought to repulse anyone that has any kind of godly understanding of how God created man and woman. For men to be with men and women to be with men, women, that's darkness. That is not of the light. It's what John stood against and preached against. Adultery. Divorce. Ungodly marriages. But now we find here that the wickedness of man, somehow following God and calling upon the name of the Lord, kind of faded out. It faded out to the point, at this point, there was only one family. In the midst of all humanity at this time, only one family still called upon the name of the Lord. I mean, think about it. That's what happened. Noah. God would have destroyed all men, but he seen Noah. And Noah continued to call upon the name of the Lord. And God came to Noah and instructed him on the testimony that he was to have and what he needed to start doing, start building an ark. Because I'm going to destroy the world. I will destroy the darkness of the world. The Bible even says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts and creeping things. It affected the whole earth and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, we're going to go into a Bible study on the life of Noah. After we get through with the life of John, I think it's great to go into that, understanding this. But that's all we're going to go there. But the idea there, darkness will influence thoughts. They had the choice. Man had the choice. They started calling upon God, but because they desired the lust of the flesh and the seed of Seth, intermingle with the seed of Cain, who had been cast out by God. We find that because of that, then they turned from God. And then that darkness that they turned to, which was the presence of evil, which is Satan himself, led them to continue to have evil thoughts continually. They were incapable of having a godly thought. It's where darkness will take you. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Application here. Application. If darkness will influence thoughts, then what must we do? Maybe turn away from darkness. The Bible says, verse 11 in Romans chapter 6, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Dead. If I'm dead to it, I'm not going to yield to it. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Alive unto God. That's what I want to influence my mind. That's what I want to influence my family. That's what I want to influence my life. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Because when you let it in, it's going to lead you down the paths of darkness. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. It cannot control you unless you allow it, unless you give yourself to it. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, whether light or darkness, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Look down to verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become the servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. But know this for sure, the wages of sin is death. Sin is darkness. Sin is letting Satan influence you, darkness. And that's sin. The end of that, the wages, the payment for that, where it's going to end up is death. But the gift of God, if you turn to the light, if you turn to Jesus Christ, if you turn to the truth of God's word, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Herodias chose darkness. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Look what Jesus said about this. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise the Lord for that. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Turn away from your belief in God. Turn away from your belief in Jesus Christ. You're condemned because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. They love the ways of the world more than they love the ways of God, the ways of Christ. That's what it's saying right here. Rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I want to live this way. I want to do this. I want to do whatever I want to do. And their deeds were evil because they were evil. They didn't want to give up their way of doing things. And because they didn't want to give up their way of doing things, they rejected the light. And when you reject the light, you open yourself up to even greater darkness. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You get around the light, you're going to be convicted. Get around the light, it's going to be different than what your way of thinking is. Praise the Lord. Amen. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And God's ways are so much higher and better and more righteous than our ways. Well, Herodias chose darkness. She focused her thoughts on killing John, and Satan used it to consume her. Greater darkness will produce strongholds in a person's life. When you turn from the light and you start going in the direction of darkness, you're giving Satan the go-ahead to control your mind, to control your heart, and ultimately control you. And you will do his will. When we yield to the Holy Spirit, we yield to our belief in Jesus Christ, and we say, Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. I confess I need a Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Right now, the best I know how, I want you. I desire you to come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. Save me. You're looking to God. You're wanting his light to come into you. And when the Holy Spirit of God comes in, you are the light of the world. You have that you are the salt of the earth. You're different because now he's in there. And he's going to help you to direct you into the light, which is the will of God for your life. And when you yield to that, then you will be a tool used by God to accomplish whatever God wants you to accomplish. The one thing about God, though, he will help us to understand. I want you to be a pastor. I want you to be a missionary. I want you to be a Christian husband. I want you to be a churchman. This is a church I want you to be at. I want you to teach this Sunday school class. I want you to get involved and use your talents in the nursery. I want you to get involved and use your talents in the choir. I want you, God says, this is how I want to use you. Because he doesn't deceive us. He opens it up and says, this is who I am. This is what my will for your life is. I want you to choose it. And as you choose it, I'll bless you. And you're walking toward the light. When you reject the light, then you're actually walking toward darkness. And Satan then becomes even more powerful. And you give over your will to him. And he starts planting thoughts in your mind. And he starts directing your heart and your desires. And they're led after more of the lust of the flesh. And he starts using you. And he will not let you know how he's going to use you. When Herodias did that, then Satan says, I'm going to use you to destroy one of God's choice servants. And no doubt Satan, as he tried to even keep Jesus from resurrecting, amen, he thought he had the victory putting him on the cross. And what he didn't know is Jesus laid his life down on the cross so that he could go into the depths of hell and resurrect victoriously over Satan, death and the grave. So now he's using her to kill John the Baptist. And she is falling right into it. It's consuming her. To the place where Herodias was not concerned about anyone else. She wasn't concerned about her own daughter. She wasn't concerned how this would destroy her life. You're preparing her to fill in like a harlot. You're preparing her to go and seduce your husband, her stepfather. You're preparing her by this kind of dress and this kind of sexual undertaking. And you're preparing her. You're not thinking about her. You're not thinking about where it's going to lead her by you filling her head with all this stuff, and you're not thinking about how it's going to affect her when she asks for the head of John the Baptist, and she has this bloody head on a platter, and she comes and brings it to you and rejoices over the murder of John the Baptist. With that kind of thinking, what chance does she have for her life? Where is she going to go from there? Herodias didn't care about her own daughter, didn't care how it was going to affect her life. All she wanted is my way. I want him dead, and I don't care who it hurts, who I have to step on. I'm going to get my way. That's darkness. The self-will of an individual is darkness. You thinking you're better than somebody else is darkness. She didn't care about her own daughter. She was so blinded and so living in darkness that she would sacrifice her own daughter to have her will, to do what she wanted done. She didn't care about Herod. She married him. She divorced her husband, his brother, so that she could prove that I love you. She didn't care how it was going to affect him. She didn't want John having anything to do with affecting his thinking. Because if that preacher gets through to him, it's going to mess my life up. She didn't care about her husband. She was all about herself. She didn't care about the people. Herod says, we can't. The people love John. If we kill him, there'll be an uprising because they looked at John as being a holy man. She didn't care. She was being led by darkness. And darkness is consumed with self. She surely didn't care about John, the one who would lose his life. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 3, you know the verse well, and I'm almost done here, almost finished, so don't leave me yet. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. See, this is applicable to today's society as well. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. What is that darkness? Greater darkness. There's greater darkness in the United States of America today than there was 5 years ago. If you compare it to 20 years ago, you can see night and day. Amen? Just the farther back you go, the darker it becomes. And the world thinks that we're arriving. And all they're doing is getting further and further into darkness. Because they're rejecting the light. The Bible says, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Darkness. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Well, because it's against the law to spank them anymore. Everybody's afraid about being put in jail. Afraid they've got a 1-800 hotline to call. And my mom told me I was bad. And so that, whatever it might be. And I'm not for abuse. I'm not at all. But look what's happened. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. All you have to do is look at the homosexual agenda today. And everyone that's fallen on the bandwagon, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despise of those that are good. We're the bad guys today. If you stand and preach the word of God, you're the bad guy. You hate people. No, we love people. We hate sin because we know what sin does. We know how it's darkness and what it does in destroying lives and families. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Wow. God's will is just the opposite. Can we make a comparison here? That's darkness. What is light? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Starting from the very top, an almighty Creator God, He says, I'm concerned about others. And let me be the first to sacrifice for others. I'm going to sacrifice the closest thing to me. My only begotten, that means one of a kind, Son. That's light. Not thinking about what you can do for me, but wanting to be a blessing, wanting to be used to help you. For God so loved the world And when Jesus came, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came with an idea that others need help. And God has used me and God has sent me to be the sacrificial lamb, to be the help for all humanity. And he was willing to lay his life down, for no one could have taken it, for others. He became a servant. Give an example for Christianity today. Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, God says. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Esteem others. Wow. What a stark contrast. It's the difference between light and darkness. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's light. That's God's will for humanity. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. In closing tonight, can I just say, don't reject light. God speaks to you. Don't turn away from Him. When the Holy Spirit of God tries to convict you, don't harden your heart. Don't reject light. Because when you reject light, you open yourself up to even greater darkness. As we receive the light is what will help us to realize others need it. And when you're living in the light, you'll want to be a witness of the light and help others to come out of darkness. Amen. John the Baptist, we have this story because God says, I'm not only going to be glorified through his life, I'm going to be glorified through his death. Praise the Lord for it. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Don't turn from light. God speaks to you. Receive it. Even if it's convicting you of something you're doing, especially if it's convicting you of something you're doing, a lifestyle that you're tempted to go after, know where it leads. When you reject light, when you reject the light, you open yourself up to even greater darkness than what you're in right now. The help for darkness, if you're living in sin, if you have things in your life that shouldn't be there, the help for that is light. Is light. The light will bring you out of the darkness. Don't reject it. If you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. He is the light of the world. He offers you opportunity to know Him and to receive Him as your own personal Lord and Savior. Don't reject that. Receive Him. Yield to Him. Live for Him. Anyone else? Right now is an invitation time. If God's speaking to you, we're not going to have a musical invitation, but if God's speaking to you, now is the time. Make that decision. Father, we do love you. Thank you tonight for the truth of John the Baptist, and even as we see his last few moments on this earth and what took place, there is lessons for us to learn and how it happened and what took place. And I pray that you'd help us to apply this biblical principle and this truth that we study tonight to our lives. Help us, Lord God, to be drawn to the light and not to reject it. Bless now as we get ready to leave. Get us home safely in Jesus' name.